This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Do you know, we have changed. Recently, we've all been learning to wear face masks and to do the social distancing at school, in shops. And do you know, it feels clumsy. We forget. You know that sheet of Perspex that's there to protect the shop assistants? Have you ever found yourself peering around the side just to get that 10% better view of their face? Changing our habits is hard work, isn't it? New Year's resolutions don't normally work for most of us, do they? Why is that? We try to muscle up on willpower. We look for inspiration. We join a gym so that our wallet's involved. All good things. But somehow it fades and it's rare for the change to stick. Some of you have been trying for years to change, to get better in a particular relationship, perhaps to change a habit or a behavior pattern. This is my weakness. Or to overcome a limitation. You really want to change, but you may be feeling tired of trying to change or even feeling you can't change. Personal change is hard. The patterns are strong in us. Some are perhaps even strongholds that hold us down, hold us back. We get stuck. We want to change for the better, but it isn't easy. Maybe we try to live a good life, but as Paul says, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing. I sat down at the computer to work on this talk, and 10 minutes later, I realized I'd gone to Facebook, I'd been to BBC News and a few other sites, and I'd almost forgotten why I went to the computer in the first place. Like Paul says, what I do is not the good I want to do. Why is that? As followers of Jesus, we want to be like the first disciples. Like them, we want to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. But we aren't very good at it. So it means we need to keep on changing and growing through our lives. To the people in Corinth, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. New things have come. And later on, he says, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. To the Romans, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are being transformed. It's something that happens to us. But also the challenge is to be transformed. There's something we need to do. This Greek word transformed is the one from which we get the word metamorphosis. And in the history of an organism like a butterfly or a moth, metamorphosis is a profound change in form from one stage to the next. The caterpillar becomes a pupa, and the pupa becomes a butterfly. It's an extraordinary and profound change. And we are called to extraordinary and profound change in our lives. Transformation, following Jesus, is quite a big deal. It actually means arranging our whole life around the goal of transformation into the image of Jesus. We need to change and grow. But how can that change happen? Personal change and growth is not entirely straightforward. But there is something different about personal change in the way of Jesus. And I'm going to briefly introduce five things about us transforming into the image of Christ. And the other talks in the next few weeks will illustrate some of them a bit more. So first of all, truth. We have the mind of Christ, Paul says. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this is what scientists call neuroplasticity. The pattern of our brains, our minds can change all through life. So what's your brain diet? Is it still whatever's on the radio as you drive to work, or your favorite websites or apps or shows? These things do shape us. Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Changing our feed of information changes us. So in a post-truth world, are you intentionally seeking out reliable sources of truth, immersing yourself in things that will build you up, renew your mind and transform you? Teaching and truth from Jesus rewires the mental maps in our brains by which we show up to reality to be like Jesus' mental maps. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. So next, practice. We are transformed by practice, as every musician knows. I tried learning the triangle this week in my band. It takes time to get it right. You have to do it over and over again. It's the same with driving. You may have your driving theory test, but you aren't safe to drive until you've had some practice. And Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. So doing certain things, spiritual disciplines and habits, it resets us, creates new muscle memory, develops character. And this whole year, we've been encouraging you to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. And those are practices based on truth. They are habits that gradually transform us. At the beginning of this year, I rebooted my prayers in the morning by choosing something really short and easy, which is called a breath prayer. You are here and I am with you. Just acknowledging the presence of God and then reading whatever Jesus said next in the Gospel of Matthew. So I go to the same chair. I don't have to decide what to do. It only takes a couple of minutes. Well, I say it only takes a couple of minutes, but something happened. It grew. As I spent time simply acknowledging that God is here, I realized I wanted to say more and added another breath prayer. And now I have about 10 I use regularly, almost without thinking about it. And most days, something new comes to mind as I spend time quietly. Something happened. Habits changed my heart. It came to life. This is not a chore or a task. This is part of who I am. Habits are part of our identity, and practice changes us. So third, community. We are transformed by living as community, where we know and are known, where we share our lives, where we share our meals when that's possible. We spur one another to love and good works. We sharpen each other up. If you try searching Bible Gateway for one another in the New Testament, you'll find that we encourage one another daily. We have fellowship with one another. That's koinonia if you read this week's email. We build each other up. We teach and admonish one another with wisdom. We love one another deeply. We are kind and compassionate to one another. Lots of verses. Sorry you couldn't keep up there, Jenna. And that is part of what transforms us. If I wanted to change, why would I do it alone? Other people are key to change. Your household, mentors, running partners, encouragers. Those relationships help us to change. You remember Paul said, be transformed, and also said that we are being transformed. It's both of those, actually. All of this is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Now, for some reason, my phone keeps needing to be recharged. Is yours like that? Paul says, keep on being filled with the Spirit, and we need him, constantly filling and refilling us, growing fruit in our character, renewing us, carrying us along, prompting us with insights and wisdom from above. He provides power to change so that rather than relying on pure willpower, which we know is a limited resource, we surrender to his work in our lives. The last one I want to mention about us being transformed is the hard knocks of life. Many people grow through pain and suffering, and the perseverance and character that emerges through that. It's a strong theme as you look through the ancient Bible stories, the life of Jesus himself and the persecution of the early church. God is good. These things don't come from him. But because of his nature, he will always use those situations to transform us into his likeness, because God is with us in that suffering. As the scripture says, in all things he works for good. So that's five things by which we change and grow in the way of Jesus and are transformed. So how do we know where to start? It can be as simple as praying, change my heart, O God. I like short prayers. And here's something practical you can do right at the start of this series, on your own or maybe in your growth group, and that is to make a list. The prophet Haggai says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. In another translation, consider your ways. Think carefully about your habits. So this challenge is to make a list of the patterns and habits in your life and see what God prompts. When I did this recently, I was amazed at how many habits and patterns I spotted, how I wake up in the morning, how I have my breakfast, and how I do other morning things, checking my phone, physical activity, how I organize my work. I am a spontaneous person. I didn't actually believe that I was a creature of habit, but it took no time at all for me to list 30 habits and patterns in my life here in my journal. It's interesting. I started writing physical facts, work routines, social media, and whatever. Then I realized there are also patterns in how I relate to people, my impatience with some people I never share deeply with, some patterns of thinking. I get stuck sometimes, inwardly grumpy about something, and actually the grumpiness shows on the outside, and that's another pattern. And they're not all consistent patterns either. Sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that. Am I exaggerating or am I understating? Am I engaging with people or ignoring them? Am I accepting or challenging? It's all of those at times. There are quite a few of my patterns I'm still puzzling over. What am I like? What do I want to be like? How does God want to transform me? So the reason for making a list of patterns and habits is not to make you feel bad. You might eat junk food, binge on box sets, touch your phone 2,617 times a day. That was a study, by the way. Don't take a guilt trip about that. God loves you anyway. He already knows. No, the reason for considering your ways is very simply to invite God to prompt you about one thing he might want to transform, to metamorphose. Like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, to take something very ordinary in you and grow something beautiful. You see, God wants us to be transformed even more than we want it ourselves. It's because he wants us to flourish. He wants us to be free. He wants us to live in the way he designed and intended. He wants us to be transformed into the people he designed us to be. That is his heart. So there's no shame. We don't have to hide anything or feel bad. It's just an invitation to keep offering ourselves to him to show us what he would like to work on in us next. When a caterpillar first starts to change, the pupa is soft and limp and actually vulnerable to attack by wasps and parasites. But after quite a short time, it gets strong. Even in the transitional stage, moths have cocoons to help them through this stage. I wonder what you'll discover if you make a list of patterns and habits in your life. It's not too hard. Could you do that this week? If something in you needs to change, you might feel a bit vulnerable even identifying that. You don't have to tell people immediately. You don't have to change overnight. But let's be open to the idea that God might put his finger on something. Let's be willing to respond to that as we go through this series. So as we finish, a blessing. May you spot the habits and patterns in your life and hear God's prompt about one thing he wants to transform. May you know the truth, change your mind, repent, become immersed in the mental map of Jesus. May you practice finding ways of doing things regularly that help you to grow and develop. May you find community that spurs you on to love and good works, people to inspire you, people to run alongside you. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit today and every day, consciously open to his transformational work. And when the hard knocks of life come, may you know his presence and emerge stronger from that storm, refined by the fire. May you be blessed and transformed as you intentionally follow Jesus. Amen.